B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
If that's coming here, then there you go. I mean, you know, and you want to be somewhere where you can have some longevity. You know, so you come here and you have a good situation with Carson and Doug, and you have some longevity there. Why not?
That's actually my one fear, is that he would come, and it's stupid because it's actually a good thing for the team, is he would come in here and have so much success that he'd be hired as a head coach again in a very short amount of time.
So another more turnover.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But that's a good problem to have. You cross that bridge when you get to it, as the great Eileen Lynch says.
She coined the phrase.
Yeah.
By the way, I hate saying that.
What?
And you have every right
cross
to
that
hate
bridge
saying that.
When you get to it.
You have every right,
that.
Bob, and I respect your opinion.
Okay. How about Gary Kubiak for a name?
Now,
he was out of the game for 3 years. He got out at 16 because he had the heart trouble, had some medical
issues.
That
game. Jamie, you were probably at that game, too.
Yeah. He went down on the sideline. Yeah, I remember watching that. And then he resurfaces this past year as an offensive advisor for the Minnesota Vikings. Now, he's only 58 years old. Mm-hmm. He was a name a few years ago that was just an offensive, you know, guru.
Genius. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so, there are a lot of fun names out there. And I think that's one of the reasons Jeffrey Lurie jumped on this right away, even though it looked bad because of the press conference, was you have a lot of new head coaches out there. And they're going to be looking to gobble up as many good minds as they can. So why not get out there with them? Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is going to be a fun time to see who they're going to bring in here.
Do you really want to bring somebody in here with a heart issue?
He's all right. He's only 50. Modern medicine.
You have to listen to us, idiots.
Imagine telling your doctor,
I'm going to Philadelphia. No!
What?
No!
Don't do that!
Stop it!
I'm going with you.
Have you been there before? What's wrong with you?
Those people are savages.
Do you really want that on your hands?
That's a good point, Trey. Actually, that's a wonderful point. 7 o'clock hour now brought to you by...
Short-term contract.
Oh, Jesus.
Bobby.
Hey, Jamie, Happy New Year. 7 o'clock hour brought to you by Univest Bank. Are you frustrated by escalating HR costs and legislative compliance? There's a simple solution. It's time for Univest Employee Benefits. Visit univest.net. Set up your free benefits analysis today. And you are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic WPE and Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. So... Now that the Eagles seem like they are in some kind of crazy, road trip, it seems like yesterday, and I made this analogy, they couldn't figure out where they were going in that press conference. And that does not inspire confidence. And that was the point of yesterday's show. So then, just a little bit after we go off the air, a couple hours later, the announcement comes out that Mike Groh and Carson Walsh are fired. They're out. Deuces. See you later. It now seems like not only do Howie and Doug, not only are they not in the driver's seat, it seems like Howie is now riding in the back seat, Jeffrey Lurie is driving, and this car is an old station wagon, and Doug Peterson is in the way, way back. He doesn't even know where they're going. He can't see where they're going. That's how it feels right now watching this organization. It is a terrible look. It looks like you totally undercut your coach, and on top of it, you made him apologize? I mean, that's how it comes off. They released a statement thanking Mike Groh for their and Carson Walsh for their service here in Philadelphia. Meanwhile, Doug Peterson, in the second half of the statement, Trey, has to apologize for confusing anyone during a press conference. They called. It wasn't like this sprung up. It wasn't like Doug Peterson was at the airport getting off a plane and John Clark ran up to him and ambushed him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, that's not what it was. This was a planned press conference on their turf at the NovaCare Complex that they were not at all prepared for.
Yeah. It's not a good look.
It's a terrible look. Yeah. It's a god-awful look.
I can see how this could cause some problems.
Now, I mentioned this, and hey, folks, here it is. All I'm going to say is this person was a PR professional that I've known for a while, a long time, and they are a PR professional in this city for 30 years. Now, we're going to get into this right now because this pretty much sums it up. And I'm going to read to you this statement from a friend of mine that's a 30-year PR professional.
Do they weigh in on whether taking ecstasy before press conferences is a good or bad idea? Is that frowned upon in the PR world?
I don't believe I followed up with it. To be honest with you, I'm going to go ahead and just go out on a limb. Maybe it's a hot take. Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
don't. I would think they would not recommend that.
is the proper terminology drop an E? What's the?
I don't know what the kids say anymore, Mark.
Who knows?
Right, that E slaps. That E slaps. Anyway, so here you go. From a PR perspective, Eagles coach Doug Peterson's announcement about firing two of his offensive coordinators, or two of his offensive coaches, doesn't look good on many levels, personally for him or the organization. Fundamentally, his statement suggests he was unprepared for a planned news conference, no media training or practice advice going through this, nothing like that in advance. That's why the organization has media relations staff. That's why those people need to talk to their coaches and to also their general manager before they address the media. The move comes one day after the head coach forcefully praised the coaches and told the team's beat reporters they would return next season. Media and fans now have criticized Peterson for blatantly lying or having his authority usurped by the team owner 2 years after winning a Super Bowl. I wouldn't be surprised, Doug Peterson, is if he's silent for a while. After 4 years talking to regional and national media every week, this episode suggests the offseason drama is just beginning for the Eagles.
Oh,
wow.
I mean, if you're Doug, you're kind of embarrassed, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you just got kind of pimp-slapped by the owner, right? Like, this is my team. I call the shots around here.
Yeah.
Buddy.
You outside, see the name that's on the
check. I own.
Yes,
I sign your checks.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd say this about Doug Peterson, but I'm going to say it right now. And it's a phrase we usually throw at people that we're just kind of figuring out. Hey, what's your job? Kind of thing. Hey, Doug, what is it you do here? I know you during the season you call plays, but is that when the season's over, what do you do?
Well, isn't that all that matters ultimately? Is that he's good on the sidelines? Like, the rest is just...
It doesn't make me feel good about repeating success.
I hear you.
It's a think on your feet kind of... Now, look, relating a press conference to coaching ability, I know that that's a fine line and it's probably out of bounds. I do. But the way I oversee a person, you kind of have to be able to relate the two.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not being able to think on your feet at a press conference on a basic thing,
mm-hmm.
that concerns me as a person. You don't interview a person. You know, you talk emotional intelligence. He didn't talk about X's and O's on a football field.
No.
Jeffy Lurie was talking about what the great guy he is and all that, which is fine, and I understand that. But, man, I've said it all year long that his ability to think on his feet is something that concerns me about Doug Peterson.
But he thinks on his feet fine in the game.
Does he?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's very good in game.
I think in-game adjustments have been good for Doug Peterson.
At halftime.
But still, that's within the game. And I understand
that's where you sit down and you have others, you know, all right, let's sit down.
Yeah, you got like 10 minutes at most. I understand. But all I'm saying is... I would want my coach to have a little bit more input on personnel, and it seems like he doesn't even have input on his coaching staff. Like, that is not a good look for a head coach. You want to surround yourself with people you feel like you can be successful with, not what other people think you'll be successful with.
So, is he taking a hit as a head coach on this, or is it more as a person?
No, I think it's as a head coach.
I see it more as a person, kind of.
Just reading what people are saying on Twitter and
stuff. I just think it's Lori's fault.
You see, I don't. Like, I really don't.
Well, Mr. Lurie or Jeffrey should know Doug Peterson better than anyone in this area, right? Yeah. He's known him as a player. He's known him as a coach.
Yeah, yeah.
He should know what Doug is walking into. He knows what the Philadelphia media is, and he should know how Doug handles himself in these situations.
Right.
And he allowed him to walk into that hornet's nest knowing that's how he handles himself.
Devil's advocate here. Is he really hard? Before this, is he always horrible at press conferences?
That's not great.
He hasn't been great over the last couple
of weeks.
And
was it a hornet's nest? My God, all of us knew. It's not a hornet's nest.
I mean, hornet's nest, and those questions were coming.
Yeah, no doubt. So that, to me, that's not a no offense, but to me, that's not a hornet's nest.
Yes, sir.
If you know it's coming, it's not a hornet's nest.
Wednesday's a layup.
As far as I'm concerned,
it's an end of the season press conference. It's a layup.
But the PR staff has to tell him, like, hey, Doug, they're going to ask you about your staff.
Here's what I'll say.
I think if
you're Doug Peterson, should you have to be told that?
That's my point, too.
Like, I honestly think, like, Jeffrey Lurie's not going to prep his GM.
Should. Because he shouldn't be worried about press conferences. He should be worried about everything else with the football team.
Right, but my point is, you should know going into that press conference with your general manager that you're going to get asked about your coaching staff, you're going to get asked about Jadeveon Clowney's hit, you're going to get asked about all sorts of stuff. And I still have that cut I want to play for you with Chris Long that I teased before the break. We haven't gotten to it yet. But you have all these other things that you know you're going to get asked about. Jeffrey Lurie shouldn't have to prep those guys for those questions during the press conference.
Well, did Doug think he had the power to keep his guys?
Yeah,
did something shift after that press conference where Lurie went, yeah, not anymore, Doug?
I think it's such a given that it wouldn't surprise me that if Doug, Howie, and Jeffrey Lurie sat down on like Tuesday and they're going over some things or whatever, non-firing, hirings, whatever, and it was like, all right, you got your press conference tomorrow. How about if we meet on Wednesday, we'll do the... Like, just knowing, all right, Doug, you have a press conference tomorrow. I assume you can handle that. Mm-hmm. You know exactly what's coming. I assume you can handle that, and I don't have to dive into
but
it.
But why
that
would
deep.
You assume that?
Yeah.
Because he's a grown man who's a professional football coach who should have known. As a coach, you anticipate. It's not just, you can't not anticipate in life and then all of a sudden anticipate on a football field.
Yeah, but 3 years ago he said, oh, yeah, Greg Lewis will be back as wide receiver coach. And like 4 days later, he was fired.
Okay, so Doug Peterson can't learn from his past mistakes?
Well, I'm just saying he's shown you before that he'll put his foot in his mouth.
Oh my God, that's damning.
He's a football coach.
He's not against you, James. I hear you. I'm just it amazes me that you don't have to be an expert.
Guys.
But he has PR experts there.
On our Twitch channel, someone is telling us we are just chill. Down your ecstasy with a Red Bull, it gives you wings. Thank you.
All right, there you go.
Thank you. Let's get to Andre real quick in Swedesboro. What's up, Andre?
What's going on, fellas?
It's happened.
I know, Jeff. I know that Doug. You know, the breaking news about releasing the coaches and everything was good. But the news I want to know is, what did the damn swinger say?
Andre. That's in the circle, my friend. What would you like to know? Well, ask us a specific question.
Well,
I can't give you everything.
Okay, don't give me everything, but just give me a little bit.
Okay, so he said, don't call me a swinger, say I'm in the lifestyle, basically, okay. Is kind of how that goes. And we met his wife, she was lovely, she was cool, both very chill, as you would expect, Andre, they were just very nice people, and it was just like a matter-of-fact type of thing, and the thing that he said that really blew my mind, Trey, and I told you this, it was like, you don't even have to engage in the activity itself, you could just... watch from the afar.
Yeah,
from
afar? You could just sit in the room. It's like a live movie going.
So did they come in Grand Locula with a shopping cart with a pineapple upside down?
Nah, they just came in.
Sex toys everywhere, hanging around their necks.
Come to think of it, Andre, I should have asked for them just to like have something involved in like a pineapple during the dinner. I should have like maybe a dessert, maybe a little gelato with a pineapple sticking out the top. You know, just something. But no, there was no pineapples involved.
Yeah. Well, look, next dinner, I promise, I want to be there. Please let me be there.
All right. Next time we do this, we'll have you in, all right?
All right. Thank you very much.
All right, Andre. You too, man. Take it easy. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up, there's one name that one of our listeners was shouting to me yesterday at the table. And it's an intriguing name, because if you want a guy that's going to break stones, this is the guy that will break stones. We'll also let you hear from Chris Long when I interviewed him a couple of nights ago about the Jadeveon Clowney hit and the hot takes that were coming out after. We'll let you hear that in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
We're going to have Ron Jaworski joining us at about 8 o'clock today. Coming up in this segment, we'll let you hear some of the Sixers highlights. Fine win for the 10-9-8-76ers last night. And you know what? I've said this before. Chris Long is one of my favorite athletes I have ever gotten the opportunity to interview, cover, whatever it might be. Guy's always honest. The guy's always fun.
Great Twitter follow.
One of the best. Absolutely.
He's hilarious.
And he was refuting the hot takes coming out about Carson Wentz with people calling him soft, people questioning his toughness because of a concussion. Which, by the way, I saw the story. NFL doctor actually lauded him for the bravery of coming out of a game when he knew that he had a concussion. And I actually, as much as I hate to say this because it affected us, I want a guy to be able to play through injury and tough it out and all that. When it's your brain, hey, you do what you got to do, brother. Like, that's your life we're talking about here.
I've had severe concussions before, and they're no joke.
I don't think I've ever had one.
You feel like you're drunk. Like, you're not...
Oh, I've had that.
You're not but you're not stable. Like,
no, I don't mean a joke. I mean, like, I've had, like, I've been hit in the head.
Yeah. Like, I can't imagine trying to play quarterback with a bad concussion.
I, in my 1 year of freshman football that I played one time, that I like to brag about, I had a helmet to helmet situation. I was as a free safety coming up trying to make a tackle on our fullback and our literally boom, like helmet to helmet. And I just remember going down. And then later, I remember my coach was standing over me, and I felt like my brain was on fire. Like, I just remember...
It's not good.
It was like, I think I should go to the hospital. And he's like, walk it off. And I'm like,
put some dirt on it.
I think I'm fine. I don't know. Are you my mother? But it was not a good thing. So, Chris Long wanted to kind of come to the aid of his former quarterback. So I had an opportunity. He was doing an event at Men's Warehouse in Center City where they're doing this thing where you can get Eagles themed suits, not like all Eagles logos all over
the
place.
Like on the inside of the jacket.
Saw it, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I'll say this, it wasn't warm on Wednesday, and there was a line around the corner for people to go up and meet Chris Long and get their picture with him and an autograph. And he was great. So before they started letting people in, I got him for a couple of minutes, and I asked him about the Clowney hit and come into the defense of his quarterback with a lot of the Danny Cannell was one of them. A bunch of guys were out there just kind of throwing shade at, just not exactly giving a lot of confidence to Carson Wentz. Brandon Stokely was another. But Chris Long jumped to the aid of his former quarterback. And here's what he said about the hit from Clowney as well as the people that were ripping Carson Wentz.
You know, I just think it was kind of a cheap shot and a shortcut for media members trying to make hay. You know, down talking to a dude who just got drilled in the back of the head with only the ground to stop the force by a 280-pound man. And some of them played. And I think some of the guys that played should be ashamed of themselves because, you know, you talk about a guy who's battled back from injuries, carried the team the last month of the season, and bring up a pattern of injury. Sure, Carson has an injury history, but that concussion has nothing to do with any pattern.
Like, ashamed is the word he used.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you might have used that word in one of his tweets, but to reiterate it and basically say, and I love how he put it, it was more or less a way of putting it like, it was a cheap shot followed by cheap shots.
Mm-hmm.
It was a cheap shot from Clowney, and he thought it was a cheap shot, followed by cheap shots from guys that are now in the media that were playing in the league. And this is a concussion we're talking about. Of all the research and all the stuff that's gone into this and the movement by the NFL to protect the head and all that, like, people were calling out Carson Wentz after all that research and him leaving the game. Like, I give Chris Long so much credit for at least being a guy that wants to be a truther in this regard. Like, I really think that's an incredible thing. 610-632-0975. Coming up, let's hear some highlights from the 76ers game last night with their win over Boston. Let's get Quaz up here. What's up, Quaz? You still got the jersey on?
No, man, I'm back to reality, brother.
Now, for those, I don't think we've mentioned this yet. Quaz not only wore a PIAA patched referee official's jersey, but also blew a whistle. Good Fox 40 whistle, my friend.
Right, I came prepared for the fouls, man. I came prepared. Hey, look, anything unsportsmanlike, I was prepared for. But it was such a great night, Mark. I got to thank you and the morning team. I mean, I come in the door. Jamie on the door like the bouncer. Then I go over to the other side of the bar. 5 showing you how to shoot free throw shots on the rim. Yeah. You know, I mean, it starts at the ankles. It starts way down here.
Comes up through your feet, right, quads? All the way through the body.
All the way through the body. I go through the back end. We slap the trash tattoo and the ass is jiggling. This is crazy, dude. This was a great night. I was so happy that, you guys actually care about what we think, and Mark, I don't know. Did you pass out that questionnaire so you could write this whole thing off?
No. That honestly, nothing to do with that, Quaz. We just, you know, we always want, you know, we just want feedback, you know, and we've been able to do pretty well since we took over here, and that's good, and we appreciate that, and we appreciate people like you that make that possible. But we want to just continue the momentum. So, you know, the more input, the better. We had a great time with you last night, with everybody else, and we appreciate you calling in today to kind of follow up. But I will say this. Now, all that was courtesy of our great friend. Our sales staff did a good job. The people at Grand Cafe L'Aquila were incredible. And obviously, yes, we still took care of our servers because that's, you know, we're not going to do that, of course. Right. And, but no, we just had an absolute blast, man. And I have to thank you guys and again, Grand Cafe L'Aquila for making it possible.
Awesome. Now, right into it. Just before I let get off, make sure I get my Sixers point in, please.
Okay.
All right, but I was okay and excited that the way Jeffrey Lurie did what he had to do, because when it's not often that the owner gets mad around here. When he gets mad, good things happen. I was happy that he handled it like that to let everybody know it's not a bunch of talk. It's not that he said the East is not enough. And when you get down there 3 times in the red zone and you don't have somebody to help Doug to say, Doug, either spread them out and run through them or throw to the back of the corner of the end zone. I don't care what quarterback is in the game. Greg Ward could have did that. You got the 2 best tight ends are your assets. They both still on the field and nobody could check Doug. And yeah, he don't think that sharp on his feet sometimes. You do need somebody solid behind him. And some of the names I like, I like the fact they looking at guys who may have ran teams or have some sort of NFL pedigree. But as you know, as you said, I am definitely Todd Haley for 2020.
There he is.
Todd Haley's my dude. I'm hoping they at least give him a call. But I was talking with Bob, and I was like, the one thing I was wondering about Ben Simmons was, like, what is you working towards? Are you working, like, to work your way out of the city or something? Like, what are you going to do? You hear all the talk about you, young man. And then I finally got a chance to rewatch the game again. I got to say, I'm excited the way he showed up. He turned up last night the way that we need him to play. When Joe's not there, he was all over the floor doing everything that you expect him to do, going hard to the rim. And, you know, just playing a good total floor game. So I was excited to see that, too. And again, before I go, man, thank you so much again for inviting me and all the great listeners out there who contribute. It was a wonderful night, and I'm excited for you guys' future.
Oh, thank you,
thanks,
brother. Thanks, Quaz. Really appreciate it, man. Kind words. You know, first off, it was Todd Haley, and Quaz was a guy that was hell-bent on getting Todd Haley.
Mm.
You want to talk about a guy who's a stone breaker? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Is it douche?
I go borderline douche.
Yeah.
Borderline douche.
He looks like a douche. I'd have to be proven otherwise.
Well, let me say this. Per sources, he's a douche. Okay? But if the big thing about John DeFilippo was that he knew when to put the quarter in with Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
Todd Haley has a whole stack of quarters.
Yeah,
like, there's a whole lot of quarters.
He's ready for Mortal Kombat on the old arcade machine.
he's got the blood codes. You know what I'm saying? Like, he knows with up, down, left, right, A, B, start, whatever it might be. Like, that's what he's got to put the quarter in for Carson Wentz.
Bust out Contra on me?
It was either Contra or Sonic the Hedgehog. I don't remember which one it was, but it was one of the cheat codes.
Contra was such a cool game.
Contra was awesome.
Yeah, all the jumping and flipping.
That was like my first video game that I fell in love with.
I forget the one. It was the jungle game for Atari. Pitfall.
Oh, yeah.
I actually have a Pitfall t-shirt I bought for $9 from Target. Anyway, but Todd Haley is a guy that I would not say no to an interview with. If he was like, hey, I'm kind of interested in coming up here. I mean, this is a guy that got in the face of like Ben Roethlisberger and had shouting matches with him. Like, sometimes you need to shake that cage a little bit.
Mm-hmm. People are going to view this job as an opportunity to a head coaching position.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because guess you're going to thrive.
Yeah, you're going to have success.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of Carson Wentz.
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty good gig.
Yeah.
Wait, who's my quarterback? Okay.
Oh.
Like, that's what I was saying about Caldwell. Like, well, will he come here?
Yeah, and, because he probably views it as a stepping stone.
Even without calling plays.
Yeah.
Did Mike, did Groh ruin this for Deuce?
Yeah, probably. Wow. Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah. Yeah, he probably did. Yes, he did. Yeah. I'm saying, you know, the hell with probably. He did because now that it failed so miserably, they can't go in-house again. Mm-hmm. They have to get somebody else out there.
Yeah.
That will come in here as an outside influence and have that outside voice as well. We talked about this. I think that maybe one of the things we didn't talk about as much as we should have was the mistake of not giving the reins to Deuce Daly as the offensive coordinator and giving it to Mike Rowe. Mm-hmm. Because at least Deuce has, what, 20 years, 25 years of NFL experience?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was a mistake. And yeah, at least here, it was ruined for Deuce.
Mm-hmm. I'm rooting for somebody, a new coach, to pluck him as their offensive coordinator.
As am I.
I mean, you don't want to lose him, but at the same time, I really would like to see him as an OC in this league.
Before we get to our Sixers highlights, let's talk to our friend Mike in KOP. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing? Happy New Year.
Shut up, Mike.
So here's my thing. The dynamic between Howie, Jeffrey, and Doug, I feel like Doug's pretty much just got neutered. And, like, I know when he got hired, everybody was like, look, this is just a figurehead. He's just a dummy that they just want in there who's not going to rock the boat. And I feel like this kind of reiterates that fact that you're just lucky to have a job and we're going to tell you what's going on. And that's that. Just be happy that you're still here. Like, that's the whole takeaway that I got from that. He doesn't have any control over his coaching staff. He probably has minimal input on the players. Like, what does he do outside of just being on the field and just being like a figurehead?
God,
like,
can you real quick, Mike, can you treat a guy like that who just won a Super Bowl 2 years ago?
That's how they're treating him, though. That's my takeaway from it. Like, if this seems like they're so hell-bent on never having a guy like Andy Reid or Chip Kelly who controls too much of the organization ever again, and they just want to have total control at the top, and the coach is just there to just handle the team, and that's that.
Yeah, no, Mike, I don't think you're alone at all, and I'm there with you, and I'll go to this comparison all day long to paint the picture for people. The Eagles right now are an old-school station wagon. Jeffrey Lurie's driving, Howie Roseman's in the back seat, and then Doug Peterson's in the way, way back, and he can't even see where the car's going itself. That's how it feels.
I think Howie Rosen's in the side seat saying, hey, Jeff, is there anything I can get for you? It's just like a sniveling little weasel. Like, can I get you some water? Can I fan you? But, like, I don't know. Like, what does this say about, like, future coaches coming here? Like, what kind of coach? We're just going to have clappers coming here from after Doug. Like, you're just, like, guys that are just happy to have a position, and that's that.
Well, you know what? Here's the one saving grace, Mike, and thanks for the call, is that I don't think Jeffrey Lurie is going to make these decisions as abruptly as he did without saying, you better get somebody else in here that is going to have more of a say in this offense, or just may have more of a say with personnel in general on this team. After you botch a layup of a press conference, the end of the season press conference is a layup. All you got to do is, I give credit to Howie Roseman for starting out the press conference the right way, mm-hmm. saying, I'm sorry. Like, yeah. We disappointed our fans. We did not get the job done. Now he quickly shifts to praising the people that worked their ass off throughout the season and practice squad players and all that. And fine, I understand you're not going to be all negative and doom and gloom if you're in that position. But man, did that take another turn for the absolute worst, where it looked like no one knew who was driving the car. And then after the press conference, within 24 hours, Jeffrey Lurie's like, yeah, I'm driving. I got this. Those two guys are gone.
It's really weird, the turn that the last couple of days have taken. Like, you know, I just threw out there at 9 o'clock on one day saying, is Doug a great coach? I think he's a very good coach and obviously won a Super Bowl. And we had the debate. Is he great? Is he very good? Whatever it may be. And now we have a guy like Mike, who we know is negative, but I think is pretty knowledgeable, wondering if he's just a puppet.
Right.
And, like, did it fall that quickly?
It was pretty quick.
Press conference?
Yep. Yep.
Is that fair?
Oh, hell no.
Well, again,
so what?
Again, that's on Lurie, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, he stripped him of his
Jeffrey
authority.
Lurie, but Jeffrey Lurie shouldn't have to say to his GM and his head coach going into a season-ending press conference, hey, guys, by the way, you're going to get asked about these two guys.
But not even that.
But it's an obvious thing you shouldn't have to say as an owner. Like, Jeffrey Lurie's probably sipping his coffee, watching that press conference, and probably did a spit take.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell is going on here?
But then 24 hours later, you supersede his decision making. And like, it was no accident that that happened as quickly as it did after that press conference.
And look,
he just said, Doug, you got no real power here, man.
And, and as I said, we played the original cut of Doug Peterson saying, yes, both those guys will be back. Groh and Walsh will be back. And then we also played the moment in the press conference that came about 10 minutes later when Doug started walking those that conversation back a little bit. So we gave everybody the full story. Mm-hmm. It was way too late. And that might even that made Doug look even worse within the press conference. And then afterwards, for it to come out less than 24 hours later, for the owner most likely to say, hey, by the way, yeah, Walsh and Groh, they're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, here, go meet with our PR specialist so we can put together, or our media specialist, so we could put together a statement saying that you messed up.
Exactly.
It was such a layup of a press conference that Doug Peterson looked over to Zach Berman and did the cradle motion, asking him how his baby is. Like, that's how, and I'm not like I'm not making fun at all. I'm being like, that's how lighthearted of a press conference he perceived it to be, and it should have been, because it's that easy. Yeah, you know, tough season, a lot of injuries. We'll work to get better. As far as coaching staff, we're going to evaluate. We're going to have some meetings. We'll go. I mean, that's how much of a layup it was. And it didn't come off that way at all.
But I think that's what hurts him sometimes, is how he's so, he tries to come off as joking with everybody and having a good time with the media, but then he starts saying a little too much.
Yeah.
That's what it seemed like.
Yeah.
And he wanted to be bold and brash, and then when you have to back that off, it makes you look even worse. And as I said yesterday, it wasn't the first time he did it. Hey, we're going to go to Dallas and we're going to win. Hold on, I wasn't guaranteeing a win. Come on, guys, I was just saying that. Yeah, that doesn't look
good. Effort.
And then when Dallas got their ass kicked. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. I promise you, last night was an incredible night, not just for the 76ers, but for our man, Tom McGinnis.
We got action here at the center.
I know we were out at Lockwheeler last night, so we didn't get a chance to really.
Oh, that's a buzzkill.
But I put a little thing together so you guys could enjoy the majesty that is Tom McGinnis. We'll let you hear that right when we come back here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Coming up, Ron Jaworski will join us in about 10 minutes, and I know we're all disappointed as to how the Eagles handled the press conference, the firings, whatever they might be. People got anger about that, and we're certainly talking about it all morning long. But on a lighter note, Sixers did take care of business against the Boston Celtics last night in South Philadelphia. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, here is the great Tom McGinnis making the call last night right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, man. Walker got knocked down. Here's another shot. Richardson with threes. Kemba Walker must be thinking, not again. It's in the lane. Simmons adjusts it. Puts it up with the right hand. Here's James Ennis. Three ball. Good. Precious triple. Left side. Timeout. Boston. Ennis knocking down the three. A 12-0 run. Batted away by Tobias, who gave baseline help. Sixers come up with it. Boston with its 10th turnover. Richardson to Scott. He catches. He shoots. It's in the air. It's good. Over the outstretched on of Tatum. Harris down line on Tyson. He went for the jam, didn't get the dunk, but he put it in. Tobias Harris goes right at Tyson, and the Sixers have taken the lead at 11-0 run. Here comes Harris to Simmons. Lob play. Horford slams it. Ben Simmons up top, and Horford with a two-hand slam. Simmons throws it away, but then Simmons with a remarkable comeback. He picks it off, and now he races down the court. Simmons don't look past. Pell catches it. Left-hand layup. Norvell Pell. He puts it up and in. Turns, Pell blocks him. Get that out of here. Cantor, get it out. And a break block by Pell. Left-hand dribble, pull up two, right wing. It's good again. Six straight by Josh Richardson. Cantor with it. He walked. He's blocked again by Pell. And as Cantor, learn your lesson, big fella. Norvell Pell, a force at the rim. Nice. Corner shot by Furkan. It's up. It's good. Parkmaz is hot. Richardson's going to get the ball. And the Sixers are going to beat Boston. A two-hand slam by Josh Richardson. Fittingly enough, he has 29 points, and the Sixers are
76ers wrapped it up last night against the Celtics with no Joel Embiid.
I have a weird feeling.
What's this? Well, why?
I really do.
Why?
I think this is going to be a good time for the Sixers. I do. Look, you take away a best player, you don't wish that on anybody, and it's never a good thing. So for those out there, they're going to be a better team without him. No, that's not true. But I think individually, this team has a chance to shine and find themselves. I think Al Horford will get himself out of his slumping period. I think Ben Simmons is going to, and started to last night, take this team on his back and be more aggressive offensively like we wanted to see. I think some individuals are going to start to shine. Tobias Harris and Josh Richardson are going to have to pick up their scoring. I don't know what it is when he broke his face and they won the 16 straight games. And now I think it's going to be a time. Look, they're still a really good team. The guys that I just mentioned, even when you take out Joel Embiid, I think they're going to pleasantly pile up some wins here while he's out.
Well, I certainly hope that would happen.
You're not confident of it?
I don't know why. Because he did it last night against a good team in Boston who has historically played
you
against
hate Ben Simmons.
I was about to praise him.
No,
he
you
did
aren't.
He did it last night. He got 9 boards, right, with 19 rebounds. He was okay. He was good. Free throw wise, he was 1 for 4 last night. Yes.
See what Brett Brown did with him last night?
What?
Played him at center.
Oh, yeah,
for a good,
down low.
For a good chunk of change, he played him at center. And Brett said afterwards, it's something I've thought about.
Well, he's done that before.
Yeah.
Briefly.
Yeah.
And it was in another situation where Joel Embiid was out.
But it was funny because they posted him up, and Simmons got posted and held his own. And then you're waiting, okay, well, somebody's going to come in and replace him, or they're going to do something different. And they didn't. Brett just let it go. So I just think with getting some new roles, with maybe a little bit of freshness when you lose somebody, I don't know. I think we're going to see some individuals really pick up their game, and maybe it'll help them in the long run.
Okay, let's hope that helps them, but I'm hoping it doesn't help them too much, and I'll tell you why. Yesterday we talked about the All-Star voting, and we talked about Ben Simmons' answer to the question from, I think it was Jack McCaffrey of the Delco Times, in the early goings of the season.
Yeah.
Shay, are you going to shoot more? Well, I'm an all-star, so it's working out for me so far. And he even said, well, I'm an all-star, so...
Sure.
Well, he's not an all-star right now.
Not in my book, no.
Yesterday, I referenced the voting that he was 6th, I think, in the voting previously. Well, the latest voting came out last night. So 6th is not an all-star. And you know what? Neither is 8th. Because he went down in the all-star voting. And not to be harsh, I'm rooting for a player to have success. But if it is going to lead to later success, more success later, I should say, for Ben Simmons, if it's going to be more motivation where maybe he misses an all-star game, where he knows he's not going to be that perennial all-star unless he does expand his game, and this is an opportunity to do that more so, all right, fine, let's party. I hope that's the case. But I don't think it will be enough without Joel Embiid for him to advance his game. I think it's going to have to be he misses out on some accolades that makes him pat himself on the back.
Interesting. All right, yeah, we'll see. I
want to kick in the ass more than I want to pat on the back, Bob.
Yeah, no, hopefully this is the time. You know, he's still, like last night he had one play when I got to hear McGinnis because I left a little bit early and heard the last couple of minutes on the ride home. Man, he was in playoff form. He was certainly in playoff form. But when I got home and I saw the last couple of minutes and I see Simmons, one of the first plays I see, he drives the lane, jumps in the air, contorts his body so he's turning while he's jumping in the air and throws it right into a Celtics hand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, stop. Please, that has to stop. That's so coachable. I don't understand why these coaches aren't coaching that.
I don't get it either. Yeah. Jordan Westchester, what's going on, Jordan?
Hey, fellas. How we doing?
Good, man.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to thank you for last night. I had a great time. It was a great way to spend my birthday, as you know. And, you know, I just, I really appreciate all you guys do. You know, I looked at Jamie in the middle of dinner. I told him, I was like, dude, this is awesome. you can't get much better than hanging out with you guys and the other callers. So I just had a great time. I just want to say thank you.
Oh, Jordan, thanks for coming. Yeah, thanks for coming, man. It was great to meet you, your lady. You guys were a joy to have at the dinner table with us, man. It was great spending time with you. And again, happy birthday to you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. And Bobby, I got to give you a little flack because you didn't come in on a live bet with me.
I know. How about that? Jordan kept looking at me last night like, I like the Sixers. I was like, I don't know tonight. I thought it might take like a game of downness because of Embiid being out. But yeah, you hit on it.
Yeah, and you know, I this team is so confusing, and I think you are right with JoJo being out. You know, they might do better. They might come to form better. I don't know why. You know, it just might be, you know, other people stepping up like Josh Richardson did last night. And this team plays up when games like this, you know, happen. And, you know, they beat the Bucks on Christmas. They're 3-0 against the Celtics. You know, like Bob and I were talking about last night, the inconsistency is so puzzling when they go down and lose to Orlando. You know, I really don't understand it, but, you know, the coaching was good last night. You know, the play, Simmons was good last night, Richardson was great last night, and, you know, if people step up like that, then this team's going to be, you know, a 1 or 2 seed in the East, but like we were talking about last night, the consistency has to be there, and it hasn't been throughout the season.
Yeah, no question. You're right. Those losses in Orlando, the effort in Indianapolis, like those things are just maddening, and they shouldn't happen, and they seem to happen far too often with this team.
Yeah. You know, I hope they can carry whatever they have right now. And then when Joe does come back, it keeps going. And he just kind of, you know, is the last puzzle piece. And his team gets back to the playoff form that we saw him in last season. But, you know, we'll see what happens in the next couple weeks while he's out. But, guys, I really appreciate it last night. Thank you so much. And, you know, again, you know, I look forward to continuing our caller host relationship and see what the future holds.
Absolutely, Jordan. Thanks again, brother. We really appreciate it, bud.
All right,
man. Take it easy, sir. Yeah, it was, I can't get over it. It was just awesome. And like almost half the table's called already. Like
yeah,
this
right?
morning. We didn't ask for that. We said, hey, thanks for the times, guys. We'll talk to you
soon.
I guess
Victoria didn't have a good time. She hasn't called in, has she, Trey?
Best of Victoria.
She has not.
No. Not well.
But she did tweet.
Yes, you did.
She tweeted.
She did tweet a picture.
That's right. Yeah.
I also retweeted.
Yes, I think I did too.
And I even used my Insta.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.